We came to the end of our series on weird commands. I had a great time with it. And for the next few weeks, we're going to do some kind of like one-off messages until we get into our next series. Side note, I am open in case you guys are thinking like, hey, could we go through like the book of James or something? Like if you guys have an idea of like what you want us to go through, I'm open to those suggestions. My job is to give you guys messages that are useful and helpful to you. So if you come to me and say, hey, this will be helpful for me, thank you. That actually works out great for me. But this week, we're going to kind of piggyback off of where we were last week. And we're going to talk about, of course, since it's Thanksgiving this week, we're going to talk about walking in gratitude. This, of course, is convenient because of Thanksgiving. But it was unintentional. I originally wanted to teach the message on thou shalt not covet like 2 weeks ago. But because Bree and I were sick, it kind of ended up that last week was the one where we talked about thou shalt not covet. And it allowed us an opportunity to sort of piggyback off of it this week. The Lord knew. But I want to talk about Thanksgiving just real quick. First question, where do you rank it on the holiday tier list? Where do you guys... Yeah. So you would say like a B tier holiday?
Something like... Right, so we got...
So Christmas is an S tier.
Yep.
We got S tier, A tier, B tier, C tier, D tier.
S or A, depends. S or A.
That's right.
Maybe double A if there's a middle.
That's right. High A tier.
And then
high A tier.
Thanksgiving A or B.
I don't think there's any argument for Thanksgiving being lower than an A tier holiday. I don't see the argument. It is an excellent, excellent holiday. On what other day of the year are you encouraged to take a post dinner nap? Like, A tier holiday.
Oh, but
at least.
Valentine's Day?
Hey, listen. Okay. Time out. What's that? Halloween's like B tier. When you become an adult, Halloween really falls down the tier list because it's not acceptable to trick or treat anymore. But here's the thing. I think we can all agree, as far as Thanksgiving food goes, turkey's the worst. It's the sides. The sides bang every time. Stuffing, sweet potatoes, green bean casserole. Come on. I'm passionate about this. The turkey is the worst Thanksgiving item. I'll guzzle that, dude. Just put the gravy bowl right down. True. Yo, we fix this by turning turkey into pizza bagels.
We all agree that the cranberry sauce is disgusting, though.
It depends. It depends who makes it. All right. We can't stay too long on this. As we talk about gratitude today, I want to come at it from a kind of cause and effect angle. Thanksgiving, of course, being an opportunity for us to talk about what we are thankful for. As we talk about gratitude and thankfulness today, I want to approach it from sort of cause and effect. Like what comes before thankfulness can start in us and what is a result of it, okay? Where does our gratitude stem from? What does it lead to? And our end goal, so usually when we talk about cause and effect, our end goal is joyfulness in Christ, right? And satisfaction in Christ and sanctification. Today, our end goal when we're talking about thankfulness and where it falls on sort of the chain of events, the domino string, our end goal is walking in joy. Okay, that's our end goal. Now, where does gratefulness fall on the line of dominoes? What's before it? What's after? That's where we're coming from today. Now, one of the most common commands in the whole Bible is give thanks. It's one of the most often popping up. And that alone is almost as fascinating as examining why thankfulness is so important. Because thankfulness is critical. And so today I hope Scripture makes it abundantly clear that walking in contentment, walking in freedom, freedom from angst, can't be done without intentional gratitude. So, in other words, walking in the fullness of joy that's been made available to you through Christ cannot be done without pursuing a thankful mindset. So as we look at that today, let's pray and then let's dive into the Word. Father, I just thank you so much for this day, for what you're going to allow us to reflect on this week. I'm so thankful for an opportunity to just sit back and rest with family and good food and just take an opportunity to really kind of enjoy a Sabbath. Thanksgiving is so rich in opportunities to reflect on your goodness. And so I pray that we would do just that this morning, that you would continue to make us what we are not yet. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to open up to the book where the command give thanks shows up the most, which is the book of Psalms. Now, the first question in figuring out where in the line of dominoes gratitude falls is what comes before it? Okay, what comes before gratitude? What do I have to do in order to become grateful? In order to get to that place of gratefulness, what do I have to have already done, right? Now, to unpack this, we're going to open up first to Psalm chapter 92, okay? Psalm chapter 92. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Now, if this is too much turning for you, that's okay. We have it on the screen. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Okay, it's good. It's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night, on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, on the harp, and with harmonious sound. For you, O Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. So one thing that we have to reflect on in becoming thankful is what God has done. Okay, the things that God has done stir us toward thankfulness, reflecting on the things that he has already done. You've made me glad because of your works. That's what David says in verse 4. So gratitude comes from an acknowledgement of the things God does, his deeds. We're very accustomed to this kind of thankfulness. Every time we pray, we say, Dear Jesus, thank you for this day, right? That's the first thing we say, right? Because we're thanking him for giving us the thing that he did of giving us this day. It's very easy for us to be like, oh, thank God I passed that test, right? Because he did a magical work in me passing that test. Or, God, I can't believe I got this job. God, thank you. It's very easy to thank God for, or very natural, rather, to thank God for the things that he did, right? It's natural. And that kind of thankfulness is good. I'm not going to say that it's not. But to only be thankful in that way is not good. Because here's what happens. It's insufficient because God is more than just a thing doer. He is a thing doer, but that's not the only thing that he is. So to only consider or think that God is like a genie who does things for me when I ask him to, leads you to a wrong perception of who God is. And it may still stir you up to become thankful. It may stir, still get you to think, I'm thankful for all the things that God has given me, all the things, all the opportunities I have, all the whatever, for my family, for Thanksgiving, etc. But you're not actually appreciating God. You're appreciating the thing that he did. And when we make a habit of that, our thankfulness toward him is insufficient. People who only know how to show this kind of thankfulness become totally heartbroken anytime they don't get the thing that they asked for. Imagine if your whole life, you and there are, I've met so many people like this, grew up in the church, never listened to music with swear words in it, only ever listened to like, or only ever watched like PG movies, and the only time they watched a rated R movie was the one time their parents let them watch The Passion with Mel Gibson, right? And they go through their whole life, they don't drink, they don't date unsafe people, they go through all the things, they do all the right things, and then they get to college, and then they ask the Lord, hey, I want to be a part of this thing, and then they don't. And they think, well, but like, I did all the right things, though. I saved up all this good equity. I did all these good things in the past, like, how come I... What did I not do to deserve this thing? And suddenly their thankfulness for all those things has actually stirred up in them a feeling that because they did all the good things, God will remain the same genie that they thought he was. What happens when you realize that God isn't that genie is it actually stirs up heartbreak. Because the God that you thought you were worshiping actually turned out to be wrong. Because that wasn't actually God. It was your idea of a guy who just gives you stuff. Right? And so that kind of thankfulness can result in actually a wrong idea of who God is. So that kind of thankfulness is not, it's good, but it's not sufficient. So the next thing that we want to look at is in Psalm chapter 30. Because acknowledging what God does is only part of it. There's more. So turn with me to Psalm chapter 30, or look on the screen when Jesse turns to it. Psalm chapter 30 goes like this. We're going to look at verses 3 through 5. O Lord, you have brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So what David is rejoicing in here and giving thanks for here is the things that God didn't do. Okay? David is being thankful for the things that didn't happen. You have kept me alive, aka you didn't let me die. You gave me a second chance, right? People in the previous category who primarily see God as a thing doer think that by being faithful, God does things for them, right? But you don't want God to give you what you deserve. You think that by storing up good works, you're going to eventually get what you deserve. But you don't want what you deserve because what you deserve is nothing. A proper view of who you are in Christ is as someone who used to be dead in your sins, dead, a dead person, who was then brought to life by Christ. Now, I don't know how much you guys know about the American legal system, but dead people don't have legal rights because they're dead, right? So you as an alive person have more legal rights than a dead person because you're alive and they're not. So you as a spiritually dead person who was then brought alive by Christ, everything you have you owe to him. Everything that you have is his. So if you're storing up all of this stuff and you say, God, look at all these things that I have. Isn't this so great? Don't I deserve something? God's going to say, what do you mean deserve something? All that is mine. So David here is rejoicing in Psalm chapter 30 by looking at the things that God didn't do to him when he deserved it. We might consider these two things, grace and mercy, right? The reason we praise God so much is chiefly because the ultimate act of giving us what we didn't deserve tipped the scales in our favor. He gave us the gospel. He gave us salvation, and we didn't deserve it. That's like why we sing. That's why we come here, right? This theme is not only all over Psalms, but it's all over the Bible. And proper gratitude toward God has to include what we are without him. But there's something even more going on. Not just what he has done, not just what he didn't do, but we also have to be thankful for God just for who he is. And that's what's going on in Psalm chapter 97. So this is going to be the last psalm that we turn to. Psalm chapter 97. Now, side note, I could have gone to all manner of psalms across the Bible. But because I didn't want this message to be 8 hours long, I decided to cut a lot. if you just decide, you know what, I'm going to read one psalm a day, you're going to see the phrase give thanks probably 20 times a week. Okay? But Psalm chapter 97 verses 9 through 12, they go like this. For you, O Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hands of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. I lied. Let's also go to Psalm 113. I think the Lord will overlook it, or he's already forgiven me for it. Shout out. thankful. Psalm 113, let's just read the whole thing. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, when it says praise, that's very similar to the command to give thanks, right? You can't really praise something without also kind of showing reverence and thankfulness toward it. So praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. So, being thankful is just kind of the thing that we ought to do. Thankfulness here is not just a reaction to things that have or have not been done. Thankfulness is a conscious choice that we make. It's a willful mindset that we put on. Thankfulness is not just a reaction to stuff. It is an action. This is vital. This is critical, right? Thankfulness not being a reaction, but being something on purpose. Not out of duty, but out of actual recognition of who he is. It's really hard to actually look at who God is as our Savior, as the man Jesus who came into this world, right? It's really hard to look at that for what it is and not come away with some semblance of thankfulness. If that happens to you, you must be missing something. Because to look at God separated himself from the perfect fellowship of the Trinity and descended as a baby to be with us people. That alone. Aren't you thankful? That's crazy, right? Just starting there. And it's not out of, thou shalt be thankful. Okay, I'll be thankful. No, it's because thankfulness puts us on the path of life. Okay, I could turn to Psalm 16 as well. I've talked a lot about Psalm 16 with you guys. You have given me the path of life. You've set the boundaries for me in pleasant places. David talking about the rules and regulations that Scripture puts forward to us, not as shackles, not as barriers, but as an opportunity for us to flourish. In the way that a sheep can't necessarily flourish in the wide open land, it has to have walls so it can stay in. God has built walls for us, not that he's limiting the opportunities that we have, because he knows that our joy is made most full when we enjoy the things that he's given us in the way that he's given us, given them to us. Does that make sense? And so thankfulness here is an opportunity for us to step onto this path of life. It's an opportunity for us to walk into the joy that's been promised to us. We talked about it a lot last week. You can't be thankful if you're only ever thinking about the things you don't have. And that's what covetousness is, right? Like the idea that they have something that I don't, and that bothers me. Well, how do you plan on being thankful if that's how you operate? Right? How do you plan on being thankful if every time you see someone with something that you have, it crushes you? Thankfulness is a choice. You know what? It doesn't matter what other people have. It doesn't matter if they've got something that I want. I just got to let go of that and enjoy the freedoms that God has given to me. I can't live their life. I can only live the life that God has given to me. And I know that through his word that he promises that he's given me enough to be the person he meant for me to be. So because of that, I'm just going to be thankful. Stepping into that allows you to be the things that God allows you to be, has made for you to be. So what keeps gratitude from taking root is this covetousness. It's this desire for things that aren't yours. The more you think about the things you don't have, the harder it is for you to be grateful for the things that you do. Gratitude by nature is a movement of your eyes away from the joy-sapping things around you and toward the character and works available in God through Christ. Okay? Gratitude is looking away from the stuff that is life-draining and looking to the person who supplies us with life. Ungratefulness is a result of focusing too much on the stuff. Our fears, our disappointments, the things that just like linger, right? The fact that I'm no good at some of the things that I wish I was better at, like pool, right? I can think all day about how much better I wish I was at things that I'm not good at. But the more I just step into the things that I already have and just, Lord, thank you. How much does that affect you? How much does that change and uplift and eradicate the things that you want gone? If you want a cure for your ongoing like disappointment and the hovering like shadow of discontentment, because I've dealt with that, right? Just like a general malaise and a feeling that like, yeah, I'm just like not like happy, you know? Just what's a guy got to do to like be happy, right? Like we've been there. I know I've been there, and I know I'm not insane. Okay, so I know some of you have been there, and you want a cure for that. You want a cure for the discontentment that robs you of the joy that you already have access to and through God. Well, then the answer is to be grateful to God. And I a lot of the things that I tell you to do, I kind of preface them with, you will get there as a byproduct of getting closer to God. Okay, a lot of times I'll say that, okay? So your ability to kind of overcome the sin issue that you're dealing with is often a result of having become closer to God through devotion and through prayer and through a sincere desire to be closer to God. Usually that's the case. But in this scenario, I'm telling you that a mindset of gratefulness is not a result of other things. Gratefulness is the first domino in the line. There's nothing that comes before it. In order to become grateful, you have to meditate consciously and think about on purpose. What can I be thankful for? What can I be thankful for? Let me be intentionally thankful. It's not something that comes as a result of other things. It's something you do on purpose. So where does gratitude take us? Becomes the question. Well, a well-maintained diet of gratefulness does many things. It will help you shake off mental burdens. Here's what Jesus says to the people, the good people, in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. If you guys have been to the Empire State Building, the Statue of Liberty, and seen the inscription below it, it actually quotes these two verses. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Okay? What Jesus is saying there is, draw near to me, and I'll wipe away those pains of yours. Deal. First, you got to be grateful. Gratefulness toward God will also reassure your trust in His goodness. Right? One of the things we talked about with covetousness is that the more that you think about the things you don't have, the more you start to think that God isn't actually good toward you. Because if He was, He would have given you that. Right? Gratefulness is quite the opposite. That if you just find gratefulness in the things that you do have, it's easier to trust God in His goodness. Thinking about all that I can be thankful for always points me back to His goodness. Shout out to having a wife, man. Bree is the freaking bomb. I'm so thankful for her, and every time I think about how great she is, how great it is to be married, how awesome our wedding was, every time I think about it, I just am filled with joy to God. Like, duh, this is sick. Shout out, right? It's just great. It's just like, you think about these things that you're thankful for, and it's not even necessarily like those big things, right? Like, I'm thankful for think of anything. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for our apartment. Even though I gotta pay rent every month. Yo, rent not cheap. But even though I gotta pay rent every month, dude, having an apartment is amazing. Having a space that like belongs to you, it's these simple things, right? It's this, I'm just like focusing on these like insignificant deals, but fills me with joy. You just think about these little things that you have. I promise, if you think about the things that you're thankful for, you're gonna find that it points you back to gladness and trust in the goodness of God. Let me come up with some more. I'm thankful for coffee, honestly, because let me tell you this. Losing my taste after COVID, where coffee tasted bad, yeah, that was tough. But I got it back now. I got my taste in coffee back. Dude, so sick. I'm so thankful. I'm honestly so thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for, now this is kind of like old. You guys remember a while ago, obviously you remember it, of course, when Among Us was like hype, okay? Honestly. Now, honestly, okay? That was a lot of fun. I remember having so much fun with that. How many memes and how many references I was able to throw into passages and like, that was kind of sick. I loved that. And I think back about that, and I'm like, man, I'm just so thankful, right? Like, I'm thankful for these like weird things that crop up and, right? It's not even like serious things that I'm thankful for, but it's like as soon as I think of like these little joys, man, it just points me back to how grateful I am to be doing what the Lord has asked me to do. To just be like living the life that the Lord has made for me, right? Gratefulness like feeds on itself. That's kind of the next thing, right? Gratefulness is going to allow you to enjoy the days that He's set before you. Here's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Ready? Check this out. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay, you want to know what the will of God is for you? Seniors who are graduating, and you think, okay, I just want to, like, what's the will of God for my life? Here it is. Be thankful. Give thanks in all circumstances. Okay, let me tell you this story. Here's another story that I didn't tell Bree I was going to tell. Shout out. Bree and I started dating right around the time that we both said, relationship hunting is keeping me from fullness in God. Let me find my gratitude and my singleness first. Okay? We both at like the same time in completely different circumstances said, listen, trying to not be single has left me completely broken. Okay? Has left me completely like tattered. This is my story. I don't necessarily speak for her when I say that trying to find a relationship in my early 20s left me destroyed. It ruined me. So in like October of 2017, I was like, you know what, Lord, I gotta cut it out. Let me just find happiness in the place that you have me. This season of singleness, I'm just gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna embrace it. I'm gonna draw near to you. It starts in October. Starts around the same time for her. Season. Shout out, January coming up, 2018. The Lord finds an opportunity at snow camp to bring us both into the same place at the same time after a season of just enjoying singleness and finding contentment in the singleness that God has like put in place for us at that time, the days that He wrote for us, finding happiness in that, and then He crossed our paths right at the right time. It's stinking wild, right? That kind of thing, finding contentment in a season that I was telling myself for years I didn't want to be in. Finding contentment actually allowed me to enjoy the days that God had wrote for me. It gave me an opportunity to enjoy the things that God had meant for me to enjoy because they were something that, coming into it, I was already finding gratitude. Right? It was so easy to look around myself at that time, to look around in my life and wish, I wish I could have had it as easy as them. Man, I had all these friends at Word of Life who at like 18, 19 years old found the person that they were going to marry. And here I am at like 21 thinking, it's never going to happen. 21, by the way, is still mad young. Mad young. But I was looking around at a bunch of friends of mine from Word of Life who were like, all right, I found my one person and I'm done. And that was like so frustrating for me, because I felt like for me it was failure after failure after failure. And only after I found the contentment in God that He has made me single in this season and therefore I should redeem this time, did I rightly appreciate what was in front of me. And only at that point did He see that gratitude as an opportunity to give me something that I would be even more grateful for. Right? Imagine if I thought that my relationship with Bree was a result of my own hard work rather than a gift from God. How easy it would be at the very first fight to be like, I'm out. If I thought that it was because of my hard work that we got here and not because God had planned it. Right? And it allows you to just step into something that's so much bigger than yourself. It allows you to step into something that you can truly enjoy because it's the days that God wrote for you. I'm not even trying to be like wishy-washy here. Like honestly, walking in gratitude allows for those things to crop up where you're actually gonna be grateful for them, because gratitude cycles back and becomes more gratitude. It's not that like happy people are grateful. It's that grateful people are happy, right? We know that Scripture doesn't command us to do things that are byproducts of other things. We talked about that during Philippians, right? Paul talks about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or he talks about like the other sort of mental things that he's able to overcome. But he doesn't command those things to the Philippians. He talks about having accomplished them in himself, knowing that the command to the Philippians is to do the steps that got Paul to where he's at. You see what I'm saying? So Paul's not telling them to do step D. He's telling them to do step A. So Scripture doesn't tell us to do step D before having done A, B, and C. But here, gratefulness is step A. Gratefulness is step A. To give thanks, to put on an intentional mindset of gratefulness is the first step. This is something that we do on purpose. This is something we do mindfully. And it's something that, praise God, we have an entire day set aside for. Gratefulness will allow you to walk in joy, which will fuel more thankfulness. This is a replenishing cycle. You become grateful. You start looking around at your life and you see, man, look at all this stuff. You start to enjoy it more, fuels more gratefulness. Best way to stop that process is to look around at the world around you and think of all the things you don't have. Stop it like that. But this is a replenishing cycle, and all you have to do is get the ball rolling on purpose, and God gives you all the tools to do it. I promise it is not as hard to start this process as maybe it sounds. Because walking in the fullness of joy that's been made available to you can't be done without putting on a thankful mindset. Let's pray. Father, we are just so grateful for you, for who you are, for the things you do and don't do. Lord, I pray that this week we would focus and meditate on just your goodness and your character and all the things that we can be thankful for. I pray that this would be a group defined by their thankfulness, and that you can help us overcome the angst of this world, the looming shadow of discontentment. Lord, I pray that you would just rip it away from us and just allow us to be grateful, allow us to be joyful in you. Give us the strength to be above this world. And Lord, this week, just to enjoy time with family, to enjoy time with friends, and to enjoy a couple of days off of school. We're so grateful for it. Father, I just thank you for all these things. I thank you for continuing to make us what we are not yet. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.